Am I the asshole for not letting my sister-in-law use my Airbnb for free? Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Don't Go Broke Trying. I am your host, Rennie, and this is our Coinfessions episode. If you are new here, maybe this is your first time listening. First of all, welcome to the best podcast ever. On this podcast, we teach people how to not go broke trying to live their best life. And today, as I said, this is our Coinfessions episode. Coinfessions are coin confessions where you submit your money problems to us and we answer them. So I asked all of you to submit your money problems about Airbnb and starting an Airbnb business or short-term rental business. And you guys had quite a few questions. So that's what we're going to talk about today. I am really excited to have this conversation today. It's going to be great. Okay. But if you want to submit a coinfession for a future episode, just use the link in the description below and or the show notes, and you can submit your coinfession anonymously. So it's completely anonymous. I have a lot of people respond and say, please keep this anonymous. It is already anonymous. So yeah, just so you know. And also, if you want to follow along with this coinfessions, you can be on our Instagram page or on our Twitter at Don't Go Broke Trying and at DGBT Pod, and just follow along and tell us what you think of each coinfession. If you have something to add, that would be very valuable. We love hearing from all of you. So in my previous episode, we were talking about how to not go broke trying to start an Airbnb business. And I have a very special guest to talk to us today. We had a great conversation. So if you're listening to this and you have not that yet, if you're listening to this and you have not yet listened to the previous episode, I would say pause this episode, scroll back in your podcast feed, listen to that first, and then come and listen to this because it was a really good episode. And I spoke to Pelumi. Hi, Pelumi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Pelumi's a real estate investor. He has an Airbnb and two listings, and he's doing pretty well for himself, you know. So he
I'm was trying.
He was teaching us all about the money, you know, how to get to the money. So and he also taught us how to not go broke trying to become an Airbnb host or start a short-term rental business. So I learned a lot from him. I think you'll learn a lot from him too. And today he's here to answer your coinfessions. So Pelumi, do you want to just introduce yourself for us?
Yeah, for sure. So again, hi, my name is Pelumi. I am a real estate investor here in Canada. I've been doing Airbnb and regular rent property rentals for a little bit. I am also a software product manager as well as a tech career mentor. So I share all content for people who are trying to get into tech, for non-techies especially. Mm-hmm. So again, I'm just here to share some knowledge from my own experiences within the real estate world to help you not to get broke trying.
Yes, exactly. And I'm really excited again. I keep saying really excited, but I am. Okay, so are you ready to get into this coinfession?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, first coinfession. Hi, Rennie. I currently have one Airbnb and I'm trying to open another, but I want to know what you do about the 180 days booking each year. Also, how do you open multiple Airbnbs under your name?
Yeah, no, so great question. I guess to start out with, let me help people understand what the 180-day limit is for Airbnb. So number one, it is a limit that, you know, that is put on Airbnb that you cannot rent out or, you know, put your property listing on Airbnb for more than 180 days within a year.
And this is across the world, or this is just...
It's not global. It okay. depends on the city,
okay.
right? It depends. So, for example, in Canada, in Ontario, I know you know, that's one of the rules in Toronto, right? Wow. But there are other cities. Okay. So the real reason behind it is to prevent people from just taking their long-term rentals off the market and just doing short-term rental.
Okay, so we do have a housing crisis here.
We have a housing crisis, right? Yeah. Then people are not going to be able to get into houses. Mm. Again, there's a lot of ton of immigrants coming in,
yeah.
becomes a real issue. And to be honest, short-term rentals could be quite pricey
yeah.
It's typically more pricey than a long-term rental for the person renting, right?
Yeah.
So that's really what that is. Now, first thing, it is not global. So you can look for, you know, a different city mm-hmm. to open another Airbnb,
mm-hmm.
number one. Number two, leverage other platforms. You can leverage Vrbo or Booking.com, and there's a bunch of others that you can leverage
mm.
that is not Airbnb, and you can still, you know, carry on doing your short-term rental business that way.
Okay.
So that's to answer the first part of that question.
Okay. And then our second question was, how do you open multiple Airbnbs under your name?
So
it's kind of a technical question, like on the app, right?
Yeah. That's a good one.
You have multiple listings, don't you?
Yeah, I have multiple listings under the same name. I just have them list. So what I have on the app for my own particular listings is there's a, I have to literally check. I don't remember anymore the naming conventions, but they have like the two completely separate listings. So
okay.
It's absolutely possible.
Yeah, I see it all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
All the time. Yeah, you can have multiple listings on Airbnb for sure.
Okay, sounds good. I hope that answered your question. If you have follow-ups, just comment on the Instagram post or submit another question and we'll get the answer for you.
Yeah.
Okay, next coin fashion. Hi, Renny. How do you start an Airbnb business at 19 years old and succeed with absolutely no capital? I'm really interested in real estate and the freedom Airbnb businesses give. So, Pelumi, do you have any absolutely no capital?
So if you have, there's a couple of ways to go about it.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. If you have no capital, no money, do you have people capital? Can people trust you with money?
Mm.
If you can come up with a good plan or a good investment plan to, I'm sure you've probably heard of this before, OPM, other people's money.
Mm-hmm.
You can use other people's money to invest and you're using your equity in it is your sweat equity and you're getting proceeds based off of that. So in your pitch to them, you have to have a clear plan on what you're going to use their money for and what's their potential return on investment is going to be.
Yeah.
And then it'd be smart for you to also say, hey, if you invested in these other sort of investment vehicles, here's how my return on investment compares to that, right?
Yeah.
So if you have no money, that's one way to go about it. Also, if you have no money, another thing you can do to start getting some money, even if you're not, if you don't want to get other people's money to do the investment, you can start an Airbnb management little company of your own. Right. So where one of the big challenges that we face in Airbnb is getting somebody to manage the property.
Yeah.
So that's one way that you can start.
That's actually good. I didn't think of that at all.
Right.
Yeah.
So you can do that and be managing the property for people.
Yeah.
Right. You give them the numbers. You handle all the marketing, postings, all of that. Manage handling the guests. That way you start to get in.
You're part of the property.
Part of the property.
You're part of the business without actually owning a property.
Exactly. Smart. And then exactly, right? And then you get paid based off of that. And then that way you start building some capital. And then if you want to own your own thing in the future, you want to do arbitrage or whatever the case may be, you can go on from there.
Yeah. Okay. That's really smart. So, and for those who don't know what arbitrage is, if you didn't listen to a past episode, it's essentially when I rent out a property and then I put that property on Airbnb. And then, you know, if the proceeds ideally are higher than what you make or what you pay in rent, and then the extra is your profit.
Exactly.
Minus all your expenses, of course. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that's really smart, actually. I think the property management game is really helpful, especially if you market it right. You can make a lot of good money.
You definitely can.
Yeah.
Definitely can.
Okay. I like that idea. Yep. Okay. So the next coin fashion is... This is similar, but does Toronto allow Airbnb arbitrage? I haven't heard of anyone doing it here. And then it was a third question or a fourth question that said, do you need authorization from your landlord to do Airbnb?
maybe let me ask the fourth one first.
Yeah.
So do you need authorization? Ideally, yes. But I also know people who do it without authorization.
Yeah.
Would I personally advise it value-wise? No.
No.
Based on my own values, no.
Yeah.
And for those, you know,
maybe we should break it down just again. Arbitrage, again, I own a rental property in London. If my tenants were renting it out or were putting that property on Airbnb and making money from it, that would be what arbitrage
is. Exactly.
Would I be comfortable with it? I think they should ask me first and then I would say yes or no. But this person's asking, do you have to get authorization for your landlord?
Yeah.
I don't think you actually have to, like, You don't have to.
Yeah. I mean, again, it depends on your values as a person, right? I would say if you can give your landlord a really, really good pitch about this, right? You know, call out the pros, because it's actually, if the landlord actually thinks about it, it's probably better for the landlord as well, right? Because the landlord doesn't have to deal with it.
And the landlord doesn't,
as long as the landlord is not getting his money.
I was about to say.
Also, there's, because what do you think about Sebastian? When last did you go to your London property, right?
Yeah.
You know, my Calgary property, the long-term rental one, I've only ever been there once. I've never even been inside the house, right? Like, all I care about is give me my money.
Yeah.
So if you can make a really good pitch to your landlord, telling them, hey, aside just getting your money, you don't have to worry about maintenance.
Yeah.
Or if there's a property damage, I deal with all of that. Also, if the property is damaged, right, I deal with all of that.
Me, yeah.
Also, it's also the fact that the chances of your property getting damaged is less. Yeah. So there are probably more pros than cons for the landlord.
Yeah, actually though, yeah. So it is allowed, it's legal, but is it morally sound, you know? Morally. That's up to you and your morals.
Exactly.
I think the first question was, is it allowed in Airbnb? So I quickly Googled, is it allowed in Toronto? Sorry, I quickly Googled it. Apparently it is perfectly legal in Toronto. So yeah. You good, I guess.
It's legal, yeah.
I actually saw this article on airbtic.com, and it says that it's perfectly legal. It's a proven scalable business model.
Yeah, it is.
This person owns 42 listings in Toronto, does not own most of the properties. She made $1,737 in the past 12 months.
Let's
So, yeah, it's perfectly legal. But, of course, Toronto Airbnbs have very strict rules compared to a lot of other places. So I would just make sure it makes sense in Toronto. Like, I think on the Toronto site, we saw that you can, it's okay. I'm reading from the Airbnb Toronto website. It says, if you host your entire home, local laws in Toronto require that you only host guests in your place for a maximum of 180 calendar nights per year.
Exactly.
You can rent up to 3 bedrooms in a unit for an unlimited number of nights per year. So again, if you're only renting a 1-bedroom and you can only do it 180 nights per year legally, so make sure that that makes sense. Like if you're, okay, that makes sense. Okay, thank you for answering that.
For sure.
Next coin fashion. This one is from Reddit and this one is from r/amitheasshole. Okay. Am I the asshole for telling my sister-in-law her friend has to pay a small fee to stay in our Airbnb? This may get convoluted. We have an Airbnb that the whole family has chipped in to run. The money we make goes towards mortgage, bills, and anything on top goes to my elderly mother-in-law. When it's unoccupied, the house just sits and eats money, especially now with the cost of living crisis. Not ideal. Just so happens that my little brother needed a place to stay for 3 weeks while he was arranging paperwork to move to another country. He paid quite a low friends and family fee, essentially just for our bills. Now my best friend is in a similar position. I took it to our family chat and we all worked out a similar deal for her since she's the godmother to my children and like a sister to me. She is very grateful. All happy so far since the bulk of our bookings are happening later in the year. And this way we're not losing out as much as we would have if the house just sat there empty, as you mentioned in the previous episode. Mm-hmm. The problem occurred when my youngest sister-in-law asked if her friend can crash for one night while my friend is there. I asked my friend and she has no issues since she's so grateful we got her such a great deal. This is not the issue. The issue is the crashing. We're trying to run it as a business so we don't let people just crash. They pay a small amount, keep an eye on the house, sign for big deliveries, and leave us rave reviews, etc. And it's always someone the family either knows very closely or is in fact family. So we asked my sister-in-law to make a calculation of how much the house costs to run for one day and pay us that fee. She got upset. She said she regretted even asking and that her friend is broke. Sister-in-law is currently living in a flat with a spare bedroom. So we asked if friend is so close, she is not willing to ask for money. Why can't the friend stay? And she is not willing to ask the friend for money. Why can't she just stay with her? But she removed herself from the chat. Everyone's upset. No one wants to fight. And we all worked very hard and contributed either financially or with labor to get this Airbnb up and running. I repeat, none of us see any money from it. It all goes to my elderly mother-in-law, my sister-in-law's mother. So are we the asshole to ask for a fee to have her friend spend the night at our Airbnb that she helped get off the ground off the ground to run. Oh, that was a lot. I'm struggling to speak today. So what do you think? This one is,
It's a long question.
Yeah.
Let me get it right. So the sister-in-law in question also helped to build up the Airbnb. Mm-hmm. And they asked her to pay some money.
Not her, but her friend her wants friend? To stay there. Yeah.
Please, you're not the asshole.
Like,
I don't... Especially if you're running that as a business, like, no, I don't think you're the asshole.
At all.
At all, no.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that it's, when you're running something as a business, it needs to be a business.
It needs to be a business.
As you mentioned in the last episode, you run it with a friend and now you guys are business partners. But just because they want someone to stay there doesn't mean they can
doesn't
be like,
mean they, yeah, it doesn't mean like, they're going to be free.
No.
The best you can do is...
Friends and family.
Friends and family kind of rates, right? Discounts. But aside that, pay something.
Yeah, they have
to. It's a business, pay something.
Yeah. And I think this is where it comes into like when you're working, when you're doing a business with other people, you guys need very strict rules and regulations about about what goes and what does not go. Because if this was all written down in on paper, what's she going to argue with it? Now she's leaving the group chat. You guys are fighting over this.
Nah, this should have been something.
And also, they said they're going through a rough time where there's no one in the
exactly,
house.
Exactly, right? So, like, I think that sister-in-law should be understanding.
Yeah.
It's again, don't know the full story, but, you know, based off of what we have, I think that person should be understanding of it.
Yeah. And also, the sister-in-law has a house that she has an extra bedroom. So, if you don't want to pay for her, if she doesn't want to pay, she could stay in your bedroom.
Yeah, like, right?
The math's not math thing.
Yeah, it's not.
Okay, let's read a few comments. Not the asshole. For this situation, I guess she sees it as she contributed towards the cost or that it's already paid for, so her friend is exempt. You are... Okay, I'm not going to read that part. That was... Yeah. And it's... Yeah, okay. I don't want to read that part. Too much swearing in that. Okay, next one. Not the asshole for this situation. However, if this is a house in a neighborhood where others are affected, your family is are massive assholes. Airbnbs make for shitty neighbors. Ask me how I know how. Whew. These are all the comments. They're all saying like, down with Airbnb. Yeah, okay. I'm not going to read the rest. But yeah, they're all basically saying you are not the asshole, but your family is an asshole for having an Airbnb. And this is actually a controversial thing because I know a lot of people have thoughts about owning Airbnbs, right? They're like, oh, it's bad. Like, I get what they're saying.
Yeah, that is bad because people are not getting places to rent and blah, blah, blah. But
yeah. But then we also want like, and then, but the same person will say, oh, we want generational wealth. We want this, we want that. But like, I don't know. It's very, it's different. It's a difficult still, conversation.
It's still, think about it this way. It's still a needed service.
Yeah.
It's like saying.
Hotel.
Right? Like, yeah, it's think hotels, about it. People still want, because if you're going to get a home-like experience at a hotel, what are you going to pay? You have to, get the presidential suite type of thing, right?
Yeah.
To get that kind of, anything close to that.
Facts.
So there's advantage in owning Airbnbs and short-term rentals because I am adding value. So I don't think anyone should be saying you're an asshole for owning an Airbnb. Yeah. I think that's a very non-balanced statement.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah, I agree. I know. We might get some controversial responses.
I'm cool with it.
But I'm let me know what you think, everybody.
Yeah, if you're ready to, you know, if you're ready to have a balanced conversation, please.
Yeah, holla at us.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. Am I the asshole for not wanting to fully pay my Airbnb host for damages to the property? It was the first time my friends and I were renting a house. We accidentally broke four things. The biggest offender being a swing net made out of fabric that already had a small hole when we arrived. It was ripped open on its first use, making it obvious it was of terrible quality and wasn't worth the amount she was charging us. I still don't know if it was allowed to happen inside the app jurisdiction, but I had to talk to four people before even getting into the house. The person who opened it up for me was a friend of a friend. For clarity's sake, the host is the brother of the property owner, and neither him or her live in the same state as us. It was a very old building with the renovation still incomplete and some safety hazards such as loose glass on the windows and an incomplete wall surrounding the property, as well as not listed small inconveniences such as blinking lights, lack of proper pots and pans, rusted kitchen equipment, a taped together fridge, over six walls that were scribbled with kids crayon, etc., etc. You get the picture. The house was found by filtering with 10 guests in mind, but after talking to the host, it was revealed that we needed to bring our own mattresses for every guest over seven or sleep on the swinging net outside the unwalled property. We knew that before reservation, and we committed to bringing them, thinking this would be our only inconvenience. Just like the mattresses, all the other irregularities we were kind of warned on our conversation or the ad, but the extent of it was never revealed to us. I told the owner about the damages, and she tried to get me to pay an unreasonable amount for the quality of the damaged material. Not only that, but she wanted me to make a direct transfer to her bank account outside the app and tried to threaten me with my own ignorance, that I could be getting my account banned if I didn't hurry up. I expressed my disappointment with the house structure as well as the way I was treated by the homeowner. She responded angrily, such as, "If you were so unhappy with the house, why didn't you leave?" She also tried to charge us for the damage to the structure that was already there when we arrived. I didn't post my review yet, but the host has had another situation reacting badly to criticism. After about two messages, I got really nervous and ended up paying two-thirds of what she demanded us to pay through the website, and a little more than, which was a little more than what we thought was fair, but I really wanted to settle this subject and not taint the memories of what was overall a lovely trip. I also don't know how the standard experience looks like on Airbnb, and I'm afraid to have stressed out a host for nothing. So am I the asshole for not wanting to fully pay my Airbnb host for damages to the property?
So in this case, I don't think you're the asshole. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you had a horrible experience with the host. The fact that you had to like speak to four different people to get it open to start out with, to like even get into the property, mm-hmm. already is a bad experience.
Yeah.
Horrible. Right. I personally, as a host and someone who's been an Airbnb guest, don't think that's a great experience to start out with. Why are you bringing mattresses?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Yeah. To be fair, you did agree to it. But yeah. Well, I mean, you know, overall, though, you know, based on the things you've sort of mentioned, Airbnb hosts are meant to overall give you a pleasant experience overall, right? You know, perhaps maybe what you could have done better is, you know, the moment you saw that tier, did you inform the guest, yeah, or the host rather? Yeah. Did you take a picture and show the host, "Hey, FYI, this looks like it has a tier. Mm-hmm. If we sit on it, it's probably gonna rip."
Yeah.
Maybe things like that would have really helped.
Yeah. And from a host perspective, you would have appreciated that, right?
Yeah, right. From a host perspective, I would also appreciated that I known that, okay, something is probably coming, and maybe I could have given you more instructions and said, you know what, avoid, you know, staying on it for now. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna come by and try to see what I can do, or whatever the case may be. I might try to even bring you an extra mattress, you know, whatever the case may be, right? But I don't think you're an asshole for. You know, feeling you shouldn't be paying that money again, because overall, I don't think you had a great experience. And the whole idea of Airbnb is for you to have a personable experience. Again, a home-like experience where you can truly enjoy your stay.
Yeah.
So, I don't think you're the asshole.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think, but you said you broke four things. So what are the other things?
Yeah. There's also that part.
I'm curious.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, I think that, as you said, this sounds like a horrible Airbnb experience. I always hear these horror stories on Airbnb, and I'm like, whoa, I've always had amazing experiences. Yes. But do you find that people often damage things at your property?
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes. Minor would things? I say often? No, not quite often.
What's something that's been damaged in your property?
I remember one time the door to the closet, like to the wait, ooh, yeah,
how that,
no idea. I mean, maybe it got stuck and then they applied a little bit too much force, would be my guess.
And for someone listening who wants to become an Airbnb host, how is it as a host when someone damages it? Do you think Airbnb is typically on your side, or how is that?
Oh my goodness. The dispute process with Airbnb is not easy.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, it's not very easy. You have to go do a point bunch of calls, take pictures, show evidence, blah, 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 blah. So, I mean, if you can provide them all the details, typically they oblige.
But so to protect them ourselves, do you take pictures before every listing?
No. Before every stay?
Yeah. No. That would be too much, right?
That would be too much.
Yeah.
Too much to manage. You got to be ready to absorb some of those costs, to be honest. Just keep it moving sometimes.
Again, another thing that you should all consider. Okay, so let's read some comments. Well, you've already paid her. True. So there's not much you can do about that except from contacting Airbnb, reporting what happened, and hoping they do something about it, like issuing you a full or partial refund. I don't think you were the asshole in this situation if the house was in a ramshackle condition. You obviously should pay for the things you broke, but it sounds like the property owner was trying to gouge you. Demanding you go outside the app and transfer money directly into your account is a red flag, and Airbnb needs to be told about that for sure. Yeah. It doesn't sound like the house should have been listed on the site in the first place. And if something had happened because the house is in such disrepair, the owner wouldn't have that house anymore because she'd have the clothes suit off her back. A leaky toilet and a damaged microwave. Suppose more of you got sick or had been electrocuted. Sounds like the owner is happy taking chances with other people's safety so she can make a quick buck. I'd report her and the house. If you have pictures of the house's interior and exterior, which would provide evidence of the state of disrepair and the dodgy fixtures, I'd forward them to Airbnb too. Yeah.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. Yep. Perfectly summed up.
Yep.
Okay, we'll read one more. Am I the asshole for not letting my sister-in-law use my Airbnb for free? My husband and I married for 5 years in April and due with our first child the day after. The day after what? The day after the wedding or what? Anyways, sorry. Okay. Am I the asshole for not letting my sister-in-law use my Airbnb for free? My husband and I, married for 5 years in April and due for our first child the day after, ran an Airbnb. It was an old condo that we rented out while we were travel nursing across the country from 2020 to 2022. It ended up being so successful that we used the travel nurse money that we saved to buy the next door condo, and we live there and rent out the other side of the wall full time. That's good. I like that.
Yep.
We don't charge a lot, but we make enough to cover the mortgage and use what's left over to save for improvements on the place. My sister-in-law, who was one of the bridesmaids, is getting married next year, and so is my cousin-in-law. I was not asked to be a bridesmaid in either wedding. We have a complicated history. My husband left the Catholic Church after we were married, so now his family blames me for it. And the cousin has not even told me any details about her wedding. I don't even know when it is. I know it's in June. Or whether I am invited. I would assume I'm invited because when we got married, we invited her. Anyways, my sister-in-law, who doesn't text or speak to me outside of family gatherings, but at Thanksgiving, she asked if she could use my Airbnb to throw a bachelorette party for the cousin, since my sister-in-law is the maid of honor in the bridal party. I didn't want to be ugly or come off rude, and I told her to let us know what dates and we could see what we could do. We later announced at the family gathering that we are expecting our first child in April. My sister-in-law texted days later saying the only time that's available for her and my cousin-in-law and her bridesmaids is Memorial Day weekend, a month after my first child is born, and she only wants Saturday night. I was thinking of hosting my extended family that weekend so they could meet the baby and stay nearby. I asked my family if they'd be willing to visit them, and they can't confirm or deny the weekend. It's still December. We are currently looking at the end of May, but they would like to come. Last year, Memorial Day weekend was profitable enough to pay for the entire month's mortgage on one weekend. And with the new baby coming, money is tight. Renting it to my sister-in-law and cousin-in-law for free for one night in the middle of a holiday weekend is kind of a waste of a profitable weekend. Am I the asshole for telling my sister-in-law no? She wants an answer now, and I want to say no, but I can't help but feel like a Hallmark villain for explaining that A, I'd rather use that weekend for my family to visit, and B, if my family is unavailable, that's a really profitable weekend that I'd be missing out on. Given our rocky history, plus the fact that she didn't invite me to the bachelorette that would be going on next door, plus neither her nor her cousin have told me any details like when their wedding is, plus sister-in-law did not ask me to reciprocate being a bridesmaid in her wedding, am I the asshole for also letting those feelings come into play with my decision to say no? So my question once again, am I the asshole for not letting my sister-in-law use my Airbnb for free? That was super long.
Yeah, it's very long. But I mean, I would say no. I don't think you're the asshole. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, you're human.
Yeah.
So I think it's natural for those thoughts to come. But outside those thoughts, really, you know, let's say, you know, you're a great person who just feels like genuinely I should do good to all people. Outside that still, I think, you know, the fact that you said money is tight right now.
Yeah, you have a baby coming.
You have a baby coming. Look out for you, man. Explain to them, hey, man, normally, maybe I'll do this, right? However, we have a baby coming. Things are not as, you know, rosy as they used to be, right? Because again, baby coming means a ton of expenses coming, right? I would not be able to host you for free. Mm-hmm. However, maybe I can give you a, you know, family and friends discount
on another day.
But then again, you're not obliged to do that. I don't think you're obliged to do
that.
I don't think you're obliged to. I think that's best case scenario. That you're pushing it. You're kind, right?
Very kind.
Very kind. I don't think you're obliged to do that. I think you have every right to bill your sister-in-law and say, hey, you know, this would be the price. Unfortunately, I will not be able to host you for free.
I agree 110%. I think that your sister-in-law is, first of all, you guys don't even have a good relationship. Like, it'd be one thing if you guys were best buddies and you're like, no, you can't stay here. But like, even if she was your bestie and like, it's a business at the end of the day. Even me, for my when my friends want to patronize my business, they never ask me to do it for free. Mm. They will always offer to pay. And then I can tell them, no, don't worry. Like, but entitlement is not something that I like, first of all. Second of all, this is your most profitable weekend of the month. She can, if she wants to do that because, of course, holidays, it will be easier maybe for her friends to come that weekend. But she can do it any other, it's a bachelorette party, bruv. Like, she can do it any other weekend. So legit. I would say that you should just tell her it's unavailable.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And friends, like, you know, feel free to, obviously, feel free to see if you can get it. A discount, but I would even suggest that it's a great way to show friendship when the person providing the service says, oh no, I'm not gonna bill you, but you insist, I know I'm gonna pay you something.
Always.
I think it's very encouraging for your friend that's providing the service, right? You know, it's a way to show support for their business.
Yeah.
Even if they say, no, don't pay me. So I see. Thank
you. I agree 100%. Yeah. My friends would tell me not to pay, and I'm like, yeah, oops.
Yep.
You did the service. You gave me the product. Of course I'm going to pay, you know? So I think that, again, especially given the fact that you guys don't even have a good relationship, and like, she doesn't even invite you to
get me started now.
Like, it's not giving. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here are some of the comments. Not the asshole. Say it's already booked, as the holidays are often booked in advance. I don't think you should lie, to be honest, but I would just tell her it's unavailable. And that's the fact. It's unavailable for you.
For you. I'm sorry.
If they want to book on the app, they could go pay on the app, right? So, next. Not the asshole. You're running a business, not a charity, and y'all aren't even close. You can let her know she can rent the place at market rate for whatever the minimum night stay is, just like everyone else with a clean conscience. That's another thing that I didn't even consider, because imagine their minimum is 3 nights. This is a 1-night stay. True. They're going to have to pay for cleaning that night as well. And she wants to stay for free on top of that.
And it's a party? Who's going to clean all that?
No. It's a no for me. Okay, last one. Not the asshole. She has nothing to say to you until she wants to take over your income producing property on the one of the busiest weekends of the year. Mm-mm. That's pretty self-centered, and you're perfectly within your rights to tell her no. She wants to take a day right out of the middle of a weekend, which means you can't rent it at all. Yeah, because most people will be staying for the whole weekend, right?
Yep.
And that's just selfish. It has nothing to do with who was invited to weddings and who asked to be in a party of the wedding party. She's just looking for a free ride up for her party. Yep. She isn't entitled to any answer beyond no, nope. I'm not available.
Yep.
Period.
I would agree.
Said perfectly. Yep. Yeah.
I would agree.
I think I liked some of these dilemmas. I think they were interesting. Yeah. And interesting to know what you may face if you decide to become an Airbnb host.
Yep.
Remember to listen to the previous episode because we did go in depth about actually becoming an Airbnb host and Palumi's experience becoming one.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Palumi, for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks for answering all the questions.
Thank you.
You give really insightful answers.
I hope so.
I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Do you want to tell people where they can find you?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, my Airbnb page is called Mikasa Victoria. It's going to be somewhere in this video as well within the description below. My personal page where I share a lot of content around helping people get into the tech space, especially for non-techies, is palumi.ogedengbe. I also have a drum channel if you're interested in music. I also play the drums at my local church and for different bands and things like that. There is another page called Palumi_Onilu. Feel free to reach out to me. I want to be helpful to you. I want to help with whatever information I have. And if I don't have it, hopefully I can point you to who does.
See, guys, there are so many ways to put some money in Palumi's pocket. You could book his Airbnb.
Hey, hey.
You could book his Airbnb.
Hey.
You could hire him as a drummer.
Hey.
You could book him for a tech mentorship session.
Yep.
There's so many opportunities. Many. So let's be grateful to Palumi.
Bring your coins.
Yeah. Like, bring your coins saying? For real. Well, thank you so much, Palumi. We really thank do you. Appreciate you for coming on. And I'm just
thanks
really
for having me. Thanks yes, for having me. I'm
it's
honest.
It's been fun.
Oh, sure. Of course.
Yes. Everyone, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you follow on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. We really do appreciate it. And it helps more people listen to the podcast. Again, we don't hoard knowledge over here. We want everyone to see and learn from this. So make sure that you share this with a friend. Make sure that you are following this podcast because the algorithm realizes that you like it. Then they're like, oh, if you like it, more people may like it.
Exactly.
And also leave a review, okay? Please. Like, if you like this episode, I would really appreciate if you leave a review on either Spotify, Google Podcasts, or Apple Podcasts. Because again, these are the ways that the algorithm knows this is a good podcast and then they show it to more people. Thank you so much for listening. I really hope that you enjoyed this video and we will see you in the next one. Bye.
Bye.
I hope you learned some things that will help you to not go broke. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, make sure to subscribe wherever you're listening and share this episode with a friend. To watch the video version of this podcast, check out the DGBT YouTube channel and you can continue the conversation on Twitter using the hashtag DGBTpod. This episode was produced by Matty I with music by Wonder Girls.